started on communion Sundays to preach a somewhat shorter sermon on than Romans. Brother Holly will laugh a little bit, chuckle at me, because I admit to basically doing the preaching version of putting my head down and running full tilt to get through a chapter of Romans, a full chapter in a sermon. Having said that, we noticed that on a communion Sunday, it leaves us short on time to finish the Lord's Supper, which is not appropriate. So we will be preaching a shorter sermon on the third Sunday of the month, which is our communion Sunday. And this week, this Sunday, we are talking about baptism, and in particular, believer's baptism. There are different kinds of baptism. If you did not know, hopefully by the end of the sermon, you will talked about in Scripture throughout. So we will ask a number of questions about baptism this morning and answer them, including what is baptism, what it is and what it is not, what it symbolizes, what it does for us. Find it. The first text we'll be looking at is Romans 6:3. And we're considering first what is baptism. It's a word. It's in our name. You know, Baptist is part of the name of this church for a reason. It is thrown around a little bit. Sometimes
Ba 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 ba
And it has a special meaning and a special place in the lives of Christian people and in the lives of the church. So first of all, baptism is a sign. It is a real physical process. We have a baptismal behind me. Right now it looks like the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, but behind the flowers there is a tank which will be filled on somebody to get baptized. It'll be filled with water. I'll be in there with them, and we will baptize them. There's a physical sacrament, a physical ordinance is what we call it, I should say, that takes place. So there's physical things that take place, just like with communion, but those physical actions of baptism or of communion are meant to be a sign of a deeper spiritual reality that has taken place, something that's already taken place in the life of the person or persons being baptized. And what does it mean? What do I mean by that? So something already has to have taken place in the lives of people who come to be baptized and who are going to be baptized. It means that those people have faith in Jesus Christ and his gospel. It means that they have died to their sin through the result of that faith in Jesus Christ. They are no longer under the penalty of the law. And remember, we talked about that in Romans 6 and Romans 7. It means also in baptism, so that is basically the part of baptism, I should say, where people are going under the water. It's one of the reasons that people go under the water, symbolizes the death. And people dying through faith in a spiritual way, dying with Christ to their sins. When they're brought back up out of the water, this is a symbol or a sign, if you will, of their resurrection. That now people who have faith in Jesus Christ and his gospel will risen again with him in a real spiritual way. And after their death, they will rise again to be with Jesus in heaven. But it also symbolizes a new life, right? This new life took place when they had the gift of faith implanted in their hearts, when they believed, the Holy Spirit came to indwell them. Baptism is a public declaration of that new reality that's taking place. And it is a sign that that new believer is joined in a spiritual union with Jesus Christ in a real, deep, spiritual way, and that they are now indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Romans 6:3. And remember, we just covered this a couple of Sundays ago. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So that Paul is saying, right, people who have faith in Jesus Christ, they're a new person because they've died to that old person they used to be. They've died to their sins in a real spiritual way. Verse 4, Romans 6, verse 4, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Right? So this is not people waiting till they get to heaven to be good or be new, right? This faith in Jesus Christ that we celebrate in baptism has already made them new. And they're going to walk. Whenever you see the word walk, we're going to walk a certain way in our life. That means how we live our life. It's a spiritual walk sometimes. Sometimes you'll hear people talk about their Christian walk. It's just how they're living, their thoughts and their actions in life. All right. What else is baptism? Baptism also, it's a seal, right? We are doing with a physical reality, we are reenacting people's death and rising again in Christ. And it also symbolizes that these believers are sealed by the Holy Spirit. So all the benefits and blessings that were secured by Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection on the third day are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And so that also is part of what we celebrate and is a sign of baptism. Ephesians 1:13. In him, that is Jesus, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, people believe in Jesus Christ, Paul continues, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory, the praise of Jesus' glory. So again, baptism also symbolizes this new spiritual reality that all the gifts, the blessings that Jesus died for and rose again for in the power of the Father are sealed to us, promised to us with a seal on it, so it can't be broken by the Holy Spirit. So what else is baptism? What's one more thing? And it's not a thing that we commonly think about with baptism. We do think about it as a sign of a new spiritual reality. But also, to use the old-fashioned term, baptism is a means of grace. Now, the old term scripture is a means of grace. Prayer is a means of grace. Meeting together in fellowship is a means of grace. So they're all the things that the Lord has given us in his word that build up Christians together. Baptism helps all Christians, not just the person being baptized, by encouraging us and bonding us as a church. Amen. The whole church is blessed by the person being baptized by their faith and obedience. Everyone is built up. My baptisms, I have to say, are my favorite church ordinance because they really give me joy. It's a joy to hear people's testimony of who they used to be and who they are now. It's a joy to hear their public declaration of faith. They're putting themselves under Jesus's control and lordship in their lives. It just makes me happy. I'll say it. The whole church is blessed by baptisms. People following Jesus' command to be baptized, and we all share in those blessings. A person declaring their allegiance to Jesus, renouncing the world and sin, promising to walk worthy of the gospel, Ephesians 4:5, promising to follow Jesus, following Jesus in his obedience, Jesus was baptized himself, following Jesus in his suffering that he went through, and sharing in Christ's Jesus' glory, sharing in his peace, and really participating in the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Christian life is not possible to live under our own power. If we keep trying to live it in our own power, we're going to keep failing. We need to do it in God's will, from his word, and with the help of the Holy Spirit. All right. Baptism symbolizes that the person being baptized is now part of a new gospel family, born, as Peter wrote, of imperishable seed, the church called the body of Christ. And that is what is being celebrated, those bonds between the baptismal candidate, if you will, and the rest of the church. All right. What is baptism not, or what baptism isn't? What are things that baptism is not? First of all, baptism is not a sacrament. I mistakenly used the word sacrament. I meant ordinance. In Protestant churches, we call baptism an ordinance, and that is simply something that is written in God's word that we are in obedience obligated as a church to do. We do it out of obedience, we do it out of love, but it is not a sacrament. And what do I mean by that? When you use the word sacrament, certain churches do, not Protestant churches, they mean to say that, to convey the idea that the act of baptism gives people grace. It's the simplest way to put it. They would say that the act of baptism, getting baptized, gives you grace. And we would not say that. We find that to be unbiblical and unscriptural because only God gives grace, not doing certain actions. Ephesians 4:7, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So God gives grace, not doing certain actions or sacraments, if you will. Next, baptism does not save anyone. It is not, there's no power of salvation in getting baptized. Baptism symbolizes saving faith. Saving faith in Jesus comes first, baptism comes afterward. And this, again, this is contrary to what some not churches that are not Protestant say. But the biblical pattern, the pattern from Scripture, is people get saving faith first, then people get baptized. And you know, we only need to think of the thief on the cross, who got saved faith, praise God, at the end of his life, hanging on the cross next to Jesus, but did not have time to get baptized. So he got the saving faith, and as Jesus promised him, went to paradise, but did not have to have baptism to be saved. And we read that in Luke. Luke 23, starting in verse 42. And the thief, or the criminal on the cross, the thief says, Jesus, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And Jesus says to him, truly, I say to you, amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. So, saving faith, without baptism, that thief was okay. The other thief, he didn't get it, but that's another sermon. So baptism also, finally, does not wash away sins, right? We are justified by faith alone, in Christ alone. That's how it works, biblically speaking. So those sins are already put aside by God. We are already justified before God. We have taken on through faith, when we get faith in Jesus Christ, we take on his righteousness. Remember, we've preached this all through Romans. From Romans 1, how we take on not our own righteousness, but a righteousness apart from the law, apart from anything people do. Right? That's how Christ's righteousness comes to us, through faith in Christ alone. Romans 3:20, just by way of review. For by the works of the law, remember Paul wrote, the works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight, in his sight. That's how Paul put it. And by works of the law, we can really read anything we do to justify ourselves, whether it be good deeds or money or power, or anything we think of that we can try to make ourselves right before God, none of it will work. Paul continues, verse 21, this is Romans 3, verse 21, but now a righteousness of God has been manifested, that means brought into existence, apart from the law, apart from anything people do. Although the law and the prophets, all that Old Testament stuff up to then, up to Christ, bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. All right, that is what baptism is not. So who is it for? And you probably already guessed this already. Baptism is for believers, people who are already saved by faith in Jesus Christ, those who are redeemed, if you will. And it is a declaration by them before the church and before the world that they are, and I like a pastor friend of mine put it this way, they are under new management. Right? You know, you see that sign sometimes in restaurants or whatever, under new management. Okay? Somebody new is running their lives. And that somebody new is Jesus Christ. Right? They have committed through faith, through love, to live their lives the way Jesus wants them to live them. And as I said, it's a public declaration. It's not a secret thing. They may have come to faith in their heart and their mind being open. That can be a very private experience. On your knees in the bathroom, you can be saved. But this is a public declaration before the church. It's also a person counting the cost, if you will, considering what it means to follow Jesus, to dedicate their lives to doing things his way. And it's not always going to be easy. There will be crosses to bear. The Bible promises that. When we do good, evil will come back to us because of the sinful world. There will be things we deal with, physical ailments, all of these things we have to overcome, but we now can do that in the power of the Holy Spirit. But these people are telling everyone in the church, their new church family, that Jesus is their Lord. Not just the Lord, like a God that's up there in heaven, remote, doesn't care what's going on, might check in every once in a while. Mm-mm. They're saying that Jesus Christ now runs their life. So if they're tempted to lie, to get out of something difficult, they're going to stop and they're going to say, no. The Lord Jesus doesn't allow that. Amen. If they're tempted to take something or do something, whatever it is, they're going to stop and they're going to ask, to use the phrase that was popular a while ago now, what would Jesus do? It's not just a bracelet, right? This is going to be a way or a walk of life. And that is also what people being baptized are publicly declaring. Because they've already believed it in their heart. They've already believed on the Lord Jesus. They've already know that he's God. They know that he's worthy of following. They know that he deserves to be glorified and obeyed. And they are now making that public declaration. So when should baptism happen? Well, we've already talked about it, and it's important. The title of this sermon says it, Believer's Baptism. The pattern is to believe on the Lord Jesus and his gospel, then be baptized. And it's called Believer's Baptism because of that. Acts 8:12, and a lot of the verses in Acts, the book of Acts, talk about that. New people who hear the gospel of Jesus Christ come to faith in him, they believe, and then they're baptized. Acts 8:12. But when they believed, that is the people that were being preached to by Philip, when they believed, Philip, as he preached the good news, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And so that was the appropriate response, if you will, to believing than being baptized. Acts 16, verse 30. Then he brought them out. This is the jailer in Philippi who had Paul and Silas in jail, which we know by the Lord's miracle, they get out of jail. You can read that for yourselves. And the Philippian jailer is in a state because he thinks he's going to be executed because all the prisoners staged a jailbreak. Okay, that's the little bit of the backstory on that. Then he brought them out, that is, brought Paul and Silas out, and the jailer says to them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" There's the first question. There's what you need to ask. What must I do to be saved? Well, we've already talked about that. Your good deeds, anything you do, can't do it. So here's what verse 31 tells us. And Paul and Silas said, here's what they said. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. So them and everyone in their family. Verse 32, and they spoke the word of the Lord to them. So you have to hear the word of the Lord, right? You have to be somewhere within earshot of somebody sharing the gospel with you. Not parts of it, the whole thing. So they heard some preaching right there, right there in the dawn of that, the Philippian dawn, as the sun's coming up, it's still a little bit dark outside, they're getting a sermon right there. And what's their reaction? And he took them, the jailer and his family, that same hour at night, of the night, so it's still dark out, washed their wounds, took Paul and Silas, washed their wounds, and the jailer was baptized at once, he and his family. So right then, right away. So that's the pattern, right? Somebody shares the word with you. Somebody shares the gospel with you, and you stop, and the Spirit grabs your heart, turns your mind to it, opens your eyes, and you say, I need to be saved. What must I do to be saved? Hear the word of God. Obey the word of God. Believe on it. Put your life on it. Base your life on it, because you can. And when you come to understand that, that is what saving faith is all about. And as we can see in this case, baptism followed soon after. In another place in Acts, in chapter 8, verse 35, and Philip, he was some preacher. Briefly, he was some preacher. We know of two instances where he preached, and the Lord liked his preaching so much, he moved him, transported him around the landscape, because he needed to get him someplace fast. But that's another sermon. Then Philip opened his mouth. So here's Philip preaching, and beginning with this scripture, so he's telling somebody, the Ethiopian eunuch in this case, about what the scriptures say. Someone has to tell you, here's what the meaning of the scriptures is. Here's what you're looking for. And he told the good news about Jesus. There's preaching the gospel. Verse 36, and they were going along the road. They came to some water. And the eunuch, who he was getting preached to, said, see, there is water. What prevents me from being baptized? He was fired up. There's a puddle right here. Let's do it. And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down in the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So these folks are so fired up, they're getting baptized right away. So we know who it is. The answer to the question of when is soon. Okay? People who know and believe the truth about Jesus Christ and his gospel need to be baptized. Why? Why do they need to be baptized? And the short answer is out of obedience. Obedience. Because Jesus